How are we doing, everybody? Today's Subcommittee on Veterans and Military Affairs for Monday, February 24th, 2025 is now in session. Thanks for being here, folks. This is what we're doing today. We're going to start with a presentation on veteran suicide prevention and the efforts of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Then we will hear three bills. Senate File 1706 from Senator Kupak, Human Services Data and Veterans Data Provisions Modification. Then another bill by Senator Kupak, Senate File 1705, Veterans Burial Provision Modifications. And then my bill, 1704, State Army Building Commission Maximum Bonded Indebtedness and Allowed Increased Provisions. Folks out there and members as well, we are going to deviate from our regular schedule. I'm saying this now because there's a good chance I'm going to forget at the end of the day. In that today is our Veterans Day, and you know we're doing one every other Monday, but we're going to meet for veterans again a week from today. So we'll be doing two Mondays in a row for Veterans Affairs, and the other days will be agriculture. I'll say that again at the end of the day if I remember. Folks, our first order of business, Ms. Johnson, if you would please, would you come up to the desk, state your full name for the record, and commence your testimony when you're ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Johnson. I'm the Director of Veteran Community-Based Services with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Good afternoon, everybody. Today, we're going to go over the work that we're doing with veteran suicide prevention throughout the state of Minnesota. We're going to go over a little bit about our new team, which is the Veteran Community-Based Services, some of our mapping, some data pieces, and then also our new program with the Veteran Health Navigator Program. First off, I just want to introduce, like, my team. I'm the only one here right now, but I'm the director. I am a spouse of a currently serving Minnesota National Guard serviceman, he's also a veteran. Christy Stites, she is our Suicide Prevention Program Development Coordinator. She's a sister and caregiver to a disabled veteran and a daughter of a veteran. And then we also have Krista Stananis, who's our Veteran Suicide Prevention Program Development Liaison, active duty Air Force veteran who served in Iraq during OIF. And we did put our whys on here, and you guys could read them later, but ultimately the reason why we do this work is that we want to provide our lived experiences and connections and to serve our service members, our veterans, and their families throughout the state. We've all had loved ones that have died by suicide, whether they were a community member, a family member, a veteran, or someone that was currently serving. And we all have a very huge heart for this work. This is our new team development. We just started our veteran community-based services team in June of 2024. I oversee our veteran suicide prevention program along with our brand new program that's going to be coming up here later this year with our Veteran Health Navigator program, where we'll have three social workers, one being either a supervisor or manager, and then another one, two other ones that will be navigators, and we'll get into more of that in just a bit. We do, underneath our veteran suicide prevention program, just want to put out some of the stuff that we're working on right now, and then later on in the presentation, we'll talk about the work in progress. Right now, we do offer training and education with Changing the Narrative, which is a Minnesota Department of Health-based program, and then also our mental health first aid and our assist training. We do data analysis and technical support throughout the state of Minnesota. Underneath our Veteran Health Navigator program, that's where we're going to be really coordinating the care, working with non-VA healthcare-based systems. We're looking at coordinating that effort throughout Minnesota, specifically in areas where you'll see in just a bit where we've seen the greatest number of death by suicide with our veterans. And then also that work is to provide connection back to those VA healthcare benefits that they've earned. And then lastly is our Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention Collaborative, which a lot of you may know as the Governor's Challenge. And we're really working on the priorities with identifying the service members, veterans, and their families with asking the question, starting with our healthcare systems and then growing that out to other organizations throughout Minnesota. We're working with the VA and SAMHSA in order to do that work. We're also promoting connectedness and improving care transitions. We do have a program, a project that we're working with right now as well with the VA with our crisis intercept mapping in Chippewa County. That work is just underway. And then we're also looking at increasing lethal means safety and safety planning. And so working with the VA along with the University of Minnesota and Protect Minnesota on the work that they're doing. And then lastly is our suicide mortality review. Currently, we're in a strategic planning with SAMHSA and the VA on that as well. We'll be doing work in Northeast Minnesota, and you'll see that map coming up, and we can get into that in just a bit. One of the first things that we did when I came on board in June was to develop regions within Minnesota to help figure out where are some of the greatest needs in Minnesota and how can we start really looking at the data to help lead some of our efforts. And so we did build Northeast Minnesota down specifically to be in the catchment area with Camp Ripley, and then also that encompasses four tribes. And that's where we're going to be doing our suicide mortality review with SAMHSA. That work is going to be starting in March. We have a team of people throughout Minnesota that we're going to be collaborating with to be able to do that. And so we'll be able to provide more updates later this summer on after the trainings in the different areas that we've identified. The goal with that would be to take what we've learned from there and to grow it out into other areas of Minnesota. The other side of this map here, you'll see the regions. We did put in the number of veterans from 2024, and then I also included the 2023 so you could see the number of suicides from 2023 in each of those regions. Numbers can tell you a lot, but we're also looking at statistically what does that look like for that population, and so that's why we did a percentage as well to really start looking at what does that mean in the within these regions and who has the greatest need. And so identifying that, we've noticed that Northeast Minnesota and Southwest Minnesota are some of our highest areas that we're seeing death by suicide with our veterans, and so that's why we've really started looking at Chippewa County for the first intercept mapping project, and then the suicide mortality review up in Northeast Minnesota. You're going to see in a slide coming up that Northwest Minnesota has seen the least amount of death by suicides as well. And so we're going to be researching that to see what is happening up in that area and how can we mimic some of those best practices. This is just a map just to kind of show you like where our veterans have been in Minnesota. Currently, we're at 5% of veterans that make up our population. This is over, I believe it says 2015 to 2024. 2023 is still preliminary. That will not be finalized until June of this year. We are projecting approximately 93 death by suicide with our veterans. We'll know more once we're able to dig into that data. That will come to us in June of this year too. So we'll be able to have more information, I would say probably no later than August on that data. This is by the regions that were shown prior, and as you can see, Northwest Minnesota, as I mentioned, they had in 2022, they had 9 death by suicides, and then in 2023, they were down to 2. And so we really want to take a look at what's happening in that region, who's doing work there, and is it connection back to resources? Is it the number of veterans that are living there? Is it that they're getting more connection to the VA? So we're going to be looking at that area too. Just because we're seeing the number increase in certain areas, we still want to be looking at those areas that have decreased as well so we can try to pinpoint what's being done differently. This is year over year. We haven't seen a whole lot of change in this. By sex, we do see the majority of it being males. It's approximately anywhere from 97 to 98% are males, and for females, that 2 to 3% is what we're seeing year over year. Same with the age. The greatest number is 55 and older, and it's approximately about that 60% range is what we're seeing, and then same with younger than 55. This slide here was shared with us with the Minnesota Department of Health. A lot of people ask us in regards to the mechanism of means of what are we seeing with veteran versus non-veterans. And we still see the highest mechanism of means is with firearm, as you can see there, and then also with the sharp instrument. And this data, we should just let you know, too, that it is specifically with the male side, just due to the number that we're able to look at with that. The marital status, too, this is always an interesting piece as we're looking at death by suicide with our veterans. We're seeing the most with those that are married, divorced, or widowed compared to the civilian side. Next, I'm going to talk about the Lee and Penny Anderson Foundation. So where our Veteran Health Navigator program is coming from is the Lee and Penny Anderson, who has funded the program through Regions Hospital with their Hero Care program. And so what they basically do is they connect their patients to a wide variety of veteran and military benefits. They work with their CVSO to get them connected to them. If they are identified as a veteran, they ask them the question, have you or someone in your family ever served in the military? If they answer yes, then that prompts them to that team. With currently there's three people in that team that are able to help navigate that veteran through the process and get them connected to the resources that they have. And so I'm just going to share how it's going to look on our side. Right now with that Veteran Health Navigator program, we will be hiring either a supervisor or manager that will be determined once it's gone through HR review, and they'll oversee two of our navigators. We will be partnered with our programs and services with our supervisor from the medical care service team. Next slide. And the reason why we're doing this is because they're able to offer claims through their offices. They have field operations and different programs to be able to help us get them connected with those VA benefits. And then also helping if they don't have their DD-214 to be able to get that for them. And then also other resources that we might not know that are already in that community. And then lastly with this program is the ask the question. We did throw these in here so you can kind of see how it drills it down. Have you or someone in your family served in the military? If they've answered yes, the next question will be, are you enrolled in the VA health benefits? And then the next one would be, are you connected to your county veteran service officer? That will really help us start to gauge what's happening. We do know that currently about 40% or more are not connected to VA, especially in the rural areas, and that's why we're really targeting some of those areas that are outside of the metro. They will be looking at health screenings with military time services or exposure. We'll be looking at CMS and healthcare social determinants of health screening to make sure that we're looking at their social care as well, and then looking at the mental or behavioral health screenings. A lot of people do the PHQ-9, Columbia, or ACEs, and so we'll be taking a look at those along with some other screenings as well, such as have they had like their annual wellness visit, have they done like their mammogram or colonoscopy, et cetera, to ensure that we're looking at them prior to them going into either a health crisis or a social determinant of health crises. Then some of the people that we are working with on the connection side is with our claims reps, our county veteran service officers, our VA claims reps, and then also partnering up with the Minnesota National Guard with their soldier and family readiness specialists, because we do know we have a high number of those that are currently serving that are also considered veterans, but there's also other benefits out there for them too if they are still currently serving. So we want to make sure we get them to the right resource if needed. We've got an array of partners that you can see there on the side between Regions Hospital, the Office of Rural Health and Primary Care, Healthcare Homes, and then the Minnesota Hospital Association. And we have been working with the VA St. Cloud in Minneapolis, and we will be working with the Fargo and Sioux Falls one as well due to the catchment areas in Minnesota. So these are some of our next steps that we're working on right now with our veteran suicide prevention program. We're assessing the areas that have that higher rate, as I mentioned, along with some of those that have seen a dip to see what's happening so we can take some of those best practices out, implementing those standards of work with training and education, developing an education strategy to reach those our internal staff along with our community members, and then developing and implementing an upstream approach to identify veterans with that. The question campaign. With our Veteran Health Navigator program, currently, as mentioned, we're doing our job descriptions. We've identified some rural healthcare systems in the greater areas that have helped us put some of this onto paper as well, and then collaborated with the Minnesota Department of Health with the Office of Rural Health and Primary Care on submitting a HRSA grant to be able to hopefully get funding, because we would like to get this into the electronic health record so then we can start getting data around who's being seen in those areas. And just like we all probably already know, is getting that into the electronic health record does cost some money. And so hopefully if we are able to receive this funding, all the funds would go towards that. And then lastly, with our collaborative work, we're working with the Minnesota Department of Health with their suicide prevention plan and task force. This is to bring the collaborative to align it with what's happening with the suicide prevention state plan, and to really align the work that we're doing with the initiatives under that, to share those resources and to really start looking at what are they seeing. We know they're doing landscape analysis, and we want to make sure that we're at the table for all of the different subcommittees that are happening with them. We're working with them as well on developing our goals and objectives with our partners across the state, and then also developing a strategy with the Minneapolis VA with the Ask the Question. And then lastly, we've been in contact with the American Legion with the Be the One campaign, where it's an app where they bring you through the Columbia to really start to identify if you're at risk for suicide and how to be connected to the right resource, whether it's calling 988 or if it's getting in contact with the VA. We're working with them on trying to get that developed out a little bit more to get it more specific into Minnesota so we can get them connected not only with those major partners, but also with our county veteran service officers, and then also some other like LinkVet or our Lutheran Social Services core program as well. And that's that. I'm open for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Members, questions, comments? Senator Kunesh.
It looks like you've done some incredible work in a very short amount of time, getting all that organized and sectioned out in kind of bite-sized pieces to approach. This morning I visited a business in my community that deals with mental health and a variety of different things, and suicide definitely was one of them. And on their brochure, and as speaking with them, they talked about the high levels of veteran suicides, but they also talked about domestic violence and intimate partner violence as being one of the top things that happen in the discussions with veterans that they're working with. And I don't see that in any of this. Is that part of the discussion? Is that something, to be developed over time? From what I heard this morning, it was quite alarming, and I'm wondering how and if you address that at all.
Yep, absolutely.
Ms. Johnson?
Is that okay? Yeah, so that is one area that we have identified, along with substance abuse is the other one too, but that is underneath our social determinants of health side on getting that connection back to those services that are available. Right now, we're in the process of vetting a lot of different programs as we start to build this out. As a lot of us know, we have a lot of veteran organizations out there doing a lot of really great work, but we also need to make sure that we're vetting them, so we're sending them to the right resource and ensuring that that they're doing what they say that they're going to do. But yes, that is on our docket as well, along with some other pieces too. Currently, we've been really working on laying down our structure. So as we grow into the future, we can really start digging into some of these other pieces, as you had mentioned.
Senator Kunesh.
So what comes to mind is, like, you're putting all of these services into place. Have there not been these services, or have they just sort of been scattered all over the place and you're sort of corralling them into, you know, a one-stop shop sort of program or place? And then second part of that is, are there other states that are doing what you're doing now or have been, have already created those kind of service centers?
Ms. Johnson.
Yep. Yes, so all 50 states are underneath the governor's challenge and doing very similar work with same like what we're doing with veteran suicide prevention. A lot of them go underneath the governor's challenge umbrella. The biggest thing that we're finding is there's not a central hub for the services that are available specifically with our service members, our veterans, and their families, and really trying to get them connected. That's why it's so important for us to really partner with people throughout Minnesota, and that's what we're doing right now underneath our collaborative work, is building up those partnerships so we can start identifying those areas, such as the domestic violence. Substance abuse is another one that I mentioned that has came up quite frequently over the last month as well, in order for us to start building up those relationships and doing that connection, and then how do we identify it as well.
One more. Is this funded all through state dollars or federal dollars or a combination?
Ms. Johnson.
Yes, so it's through state dollars right now. Okay. Is the work. And then I just wanted to mention, too, our veteran health navigators are going to be working within those communities as well, as we start to build that program up to be developing those relationships where they're at. And so the goal would be is to really get those navigators into all of the areas within Minnesota to help build that up. And then also to build that trust is the biggest thing, is people really want to start doing this work. Sometimes those are the hardest questions to ask, like when you're asking somebody if they are safe in their home. And I want to say too, the other piece of that too is, when you're building that trust with them, they need to know that they can trust that you're going to send them to the right people to help them navigate through the system.
Thank you.
Mr. Kelly, please state your full name for the record.
Thank you, Chair and members. For the record, John Kelly, Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I just want to note, we are the only state that has this community health navigator program for veterans. It is an appropriation from the legislature. It's a rider in the healthcare division budget for the department. So we're nation leading in this effort to try to tackle this issue. And so I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, if folks were looking for, like, where the funding was for this, it's a rider, it's in the healthcare division budget, and we're the only state in the country that's doing this so far. So early days, but we are leading the way.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Members? Actually, Ms. Johnson, I do have a question, too, I guess, to a certain extent. I'm wondering about these navigators and outreach more generally, sort of public health campaigns where people become aware of some of the resources that are available. Because I'm thinking back a year or two ago, lawn signs everywhere about veteran mental health crises and a phone number. And those lawn signs popped up and then they kind of disappeared. Is that kind of outreach part of MDVA's work in general? Would it be something that would be coordinated by these sort of community navigators? Or were those signs from a nonprofit somewhere? Is there someone else who's doing that work too?
Yep. So I'm glad you brought that up. So the VA did the 988 signs. It came out of the St. Cloud VA is where they first originated by, and it was through their coalition work out of the St. Cloud area, and then it grew into being bigger. Some of our outreach pieces that we're going to be doing in 2025 too is for 988 Day, we have bar coasters that we're going to be getting out to all of our veteran club organizations, such as the American Legions and the VFW. We're going to be doing a huge promotion. Granted, this is not till September, but it's a 988 day that's nationwide to get them connected to understanding what 988 is, but then also back to either, we haven't decided yet if it's going to be LinkVet or if it's going to be the American Legion Be the One app. We're still in discussions with that. You'll start seeing a lot of those coasters. If you do go to those establishments, you're going to start seeing those because we want to get those out along with some other materials as well to get into like bathrooms, to get connections back to those resources as well. Some of the other pieces that we've done too underneath our collaborative work is our suicide prevention calendar, which is on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website to connect them to the different events that are happening throughout the state of Minnesota as well. We've been looking at other areas as well as how can we do a box of all of our materials, whether it's brochures or cups or coasters, you name it, to get it out to different organizations to start spreading the information in regards to 988, to link that to our Lutheran Social Services core benefit, along with that array of services that we have for veterans. And so that will be coming this year.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. You know, speaking of events, so I'm part of the Central Minnesota Suicide Prevention Coalition. Mm-hmm. And I received an email a couple days ago about something that's happening in Camp Ripley, I think, pretty soon, a veterans mm-hmm. mental health event. Would you like to announce that to everybody and tell us all to go?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you all should go. Unfortunately, we won't be there because that's during our academy for our suicide mortality review. But they are going to be having the Military Mental Health Coalition on April 24th and 25th, I believe. I don't have it right in front of me. But this is their 10th annual one that they've done out at Camp Ripley. They do them very well in regards to the speakers that they have there, the resources they have there. So definitely, if you have time in your schedule, I would definitely encourage you to attend. We will also be having an event out there on May 15th with our Minnesota Veteran Suicide Prevention Collaborative. That's where everybody in our collaborative will be coming together to really start looking at our goals and our objectives of how do we want to start measuring the work we're doing, who's doing what. So really doing that analysis of what's happening and bringing some of these pieces back to of what are we all hearing and how can we start addressing those pieces. So we'll be there as well to finalize up that work.
Thank you for that. Members, any other questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you so much for your presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
Folks, now we're going to talk about some bills. Senator Kupek, if you would please, you know where to go. Senate File 1706, Senator Kupek, when you're ready. Members, actually, I'm sorry, Senator Kupek, for interrupting. Just for our communal knowledge, everything we're going to hear today is going to be laid over.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. These are pretty kind of couple of just technical bills here. We'll start with 1706. It's a small bill, but it's a fix to make sure Minnesota vets and their families receive benefits and services in the most streamlined way. This allows MDVA staff working in the Veterans Stable Housing Initiative to access the Department of Children, Youth, and Family Services MAXIS database. Having access to that data streamlines the process to verify eligibility and complete entry of veterans. MDVA staff will only have read-only access of the database, so they can't alter anything, and they can only select staff at MDVA that will have the access. This is a common sense change to help Minnesota get to and maintain functional zero for veterans homelessness. MDVA has worked with DCYF on this bill, and they are in support of the changes. And I do believe on this bill, there is an amendment.
Thank you, Senator Kupak. We have the A2 amendment. Senator Kupak moves the A2 amendment. What is the amendment, if you wouldn't mind, Senator Kupak?
Sure. The A2 amendment is kind of just some technical wording that was worked out between MDVA and the Department of Children, Youth, and Family Services. I still have a tough time with that one. It's a new department.
Thank you, Senator Kupak. Members, discussion of the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Kupak, if you're done presenting the bill, Mr. Kelly, if you would like to tell us a little bit about it, please again state your full name for the record and commence your testimony when you're ready.
All right, thank you, Chair. Again, for the record, my name is John Kelly, and I serve as the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate File 1706, and thank you to Senator Kupak for agreeing to carry this bill. Senate File 1706 makes changes to Minnesota Statutes 197.065 and 13.461. These sections of law currently provide MAXIS database access to the MDVA for the purpose of verifying eligibility status for applicants for benefits under the State Soldiers Assistance Program. When we were standing up the Veteran Stable Housing Initiative and other programs, it's become obvious that the Veterans Program staff supporting at-risk veterans also require this read-only access. And getting this read-only access is going to help streamline the verification of veterans' eligibility for other state programs. We're going to be able to gather data and create policy proposals to address identified gaps. We're going to assist in the identification of veterans who are not eligible for federal HUD-VASH programs and confirm eligibility within the state medical team review process. This is a pretty straightforward technical change. This is last updated about 22 years ago, and as the works evolved for the department, we just saw the need, and we're grateful for the collaboration with DCYF, and that's where you see the amendment today, and we'd ask for the committee support.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Members, questions or comments about Senate File 1706 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Kupak. Closing statements?
Yep, thank you. Thanks, committee. And I would just say, you know, the best we can do to make sure we're getting all the data that they need to support veterans is really important. So happy to do it.
Thank you both. So Senate File 1706, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion. You guys can stay there and keep it going. Senator Kupak, if you would, Senate File 1705, Veterans Burial Provisions Modifications. To the bill when you're ready.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is another very simple technical change to make sure we're aligned with federal language important for determining eligibility for burial in a state veteran cemetery. We've always used federal eligibility criteria as part of our grant agreements around veteran burial. This bill ensures that we don't have any ambiguity in getting in the way of a veteran receiving the burial eligibility they earned.
Mr. Kelly, if you would please do your thing.
Thank you, Chair. Again, for the record, my name is John Kelly, and I serve as the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate File 1705 is a department technical bill brought forward by Memorial Affairs Division. With this bill, MDVA is correcting Minnesota statutory language to point out to the correct federal code and clarify that the state is indeed following the correct and appropriate federal guidelines, which details who is eligible for burial. This will allow us to clear up any ambiguities in state statutes reference that could be misread to indicate that spouses and dependents of veterans are not eligible for burial in state veterans cemetery. We've always followed the criteria that's in this bill. This is what we've done administratively. This is to ensure that we continue to receive the grants that we take in from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs for our cemeteries. And so, you know, no one who has been buried previously, whether they're a veteran or an eligible spouse or dependent, would no longer be eligible with this change. This is simply aligning administrative practice with statute. Right now, you could read Minnesota statutes, and it would say that maybe only the veteran is eligible, and that's never been the case here in Minnesota. So it is a good bill. We would ask for the committee's support.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Members, questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, Senator Kupak, closing statement.
I love technical changes.
I do too.
Senate File 1705 will be laid over for possible inclusion.
afternoon. Thanks, Brad.
Of course, I think this should be pretty efficient, too. We have an actual presentation, huh?
We do.
Excellent. I'll be very, very fast then.
All right, Senator Putnam, welcome to your committee. What can you tell us about Senate File 1704?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a very straightforward bill that simply increases the maximum bonded indebtedness allowed for State Armory Building Commission. One thing I learned today is that the last time this was adjusted was in the year 2000. Things are a lot more expensive to build now than they were before. So that's the primary purpose of this bill, and that's the bill in its entirety.
And it looks like you have a presentation. Do you want to go through that? No?
Yes, please, Madam Chair. We have our two testifiers from the Department of Military Affairs.
Okay. I'll invite the testifiers to state your name for the record, and then you can proceed with your presentation and or testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Major General Sean Mankey, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And with me today is Mr. Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. So as Senator Putnam expressed, we're requesting to increase our Minnesota State Armory Building Commission bonding authority from $15 million to $45 million. When we typically build a new armory, we're required to put state money, roughly about 25%, with the increase in construction costs. We're asking for this authority to be increased. Next slide, please. So the current debt on our Minnesota State Armory Bonding Commission fund is about $5.1 million. We have capacity of $9.9 million left. The only armory that we right now are paying on is the Laverne Armory, which was finished about 2 years ago. And we're asking to increase that capacity. So although it says more than two-thirds, it's just less than two-thirds of our capacity we have. But the next number one project on our list is a readiness center in Anoka, Minnesota, where we've already have the land. But the current funding estimate for the cost, the $15 million would not be enough to complete that armory, so would make us ineligible for some of those federal funds. Next slide, please. So this slide here just kind of shows you square footage. If you look back at 2013, one of our new readiness centers up at the Arden Hills Readiness Center cost us about $267 a square foot to build. And you can see our latest readiness center in New Ulm, which is being built right now, is costing us about $438 a square foot to build. Of note, Ben Franklin is in the metro area. Both Laverne and New Ulm are in the outstate area, so you can see the costs, even in the outstate areas, are going up considerably. And then anticipated by in 2032, when the Anoka Armory could be built, will be about $962 or $926 per square foot. Of course, that's our estimate, and don't hold me to that, please, but that's what we think it could be. Next slide, please, Don. And pending your questions, that's all that I have for you today, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Major General Mankey. Mr. Kerr, did you have anything to...
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. Just a quick comment. We've been able to avoid using any state funding for about the last 20 years in most of the projects that we've undertaken by using various rules that the active component and the Congress have put into place. We did a lot of investment into the Arden Hills Army training site. Those projects were all eligible for 100% federal funding, so we put a lot of concrete out there. Our Stillwater Armory was nearly 100% federal funding, and so we pretty much have exhausted the opportunities to avoid state investment in armories moving forward, and it's time to increase this amount so that we can keep the trains moving.
Any questions or comments from the members of the committee? All right, seeing none, SF 1704 is laid over for possible inclusion. Do you want to adjourn your meeting? Or do you want me to do it?
Could you just announce?
I'll leave that for you.
Announce what's happening on Monday. Nick's going to tell me anyway, so we can tell you.
This one we'll be hearing too.
Okay, on Monday, we're going to be hearing two more vets-related bills. They'll be posted shortly. And there being no further business before the Veterans Subcommittee, we are adjourned.